this is sort of a love letter to the city of Paris, right? And you have a longtime association with that city. Maybe we can start with you just talking a little bit about your love of Paris and your experiences there and what inspired you to make this particular album.
This album actually came out very organically of an artist residency I did in Paris in 2018-19. I always love working in Paris. One thing I really appreciate about being a touring musician is that for the days that I'm in a city, I'm actually part of the cultural fabric of the city, and I get to work with people who live there. So I get to be part of things for a short time. And as a tourist, that is sort of the coveted experience. And I get to be both. I get to be a tourist and I get to be part of things. So my experiences in Paris have been quite varied. I've been going there since I was a teenager. I started as a tourist after I played a small summer festival in a castle in the Loire region. I spent a day in Paris during downpours trying to see everything, the Eiffel Tower, the Louvre, everything in about 8 hours. And then when I first got the chance to work in Paris, I was awed because I'd already been walking in Paris, but then I had a chance to go inside buildings and meet musicians who were in Paris. And the orchestra that I first started working with in Paris was the Orchestre Philharmonique de Radio France. Because of the famous exclusivity clauses in Parisian orchestral contracts, when you work with a Parisian orchestra 1 year, you don't work with other Parisian orchestras that year. And I really loved working with the Philharmonique, so I kept going back to them. So partly by choice and partly by logistics, they're the Parisian orchestra that I work with over more than two decades now. We have that really long relationship. We have seen each other evolve. They've had several different music directors in the time I've worked with them. And with Mikko Frank, their current music director, I also have a longish working relationship. I started working with him after I started working with the Philharmonique, but now that he's music director there, there's just a sort of closing of the circle that's really great musically. So we wanted to make this record, and the first piece that we thought of was, of course, the Rautavaara world premiere. The record actually wasn't initially part of the residency. We started the residency with a summer festival, and things were clicking so completely that I had this feeling that we couldn't lose an opportunity to see if we could make a recording. So I talked to Mikko, the conductor, and we looked at the calendar. We daydreamed about what we'd want to record together, if we could record anything. And Prokofiev Concerto No. 1 was something that I had long wanted to record, but needed to have the right moment for myself, combined with the right colleagues and the right moment for them. And this was that for all of us. The Chausson Poem is a piece that is gorgeous. I love it. I love playing it. And I knew that this orchestra would bring out the full range of color and emotion in it. And I knew that Mikko would create the architecture of the interpretation for everyone so that I would be free to go wherever I wanted within the phrasing, and the orchestra would pick up on that and give me ideas back. And so this record grew very organically out of Paris. I didn't even realize that we were programming a recording where the premieres of the pieces either took place in Paris, or the pieces were, for example, the Rautavaara we premiered together in Paris, the Prokofiev premiered in Paris in 1923, and Chausson premiered elsewhere, but when it had its Parisian premiere shortly after the initial official premiere, that premiere put Chausson on the map as a composer also for the public. And so the pieces are significantly tied to Paris. And then I thought about it, and my violin, for all of my career, I've played a French violin, one of two instruments that I have, one or the other, made by the same maker, Jean-Baptiste Villaume, who had a studio in Paris where the instruments were made. And so I was playing this violin from 1865, from when Chausson was alive in this recording, and nothing happened very far from the origins of all of these things. And could you get much more Parisian than that? So we called the album Paris.
Does your violin case come from Paris as well?
The case does not come from Paris, but the case serves the violin.
Yes, it does. It does indeed. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit more about the Rautavaara serenades, because there's a remarkable backstory to their genesis.
They actually originated in a performance that I did with Mikko and the Philharmonique de Radio France in Paris, a prior engagement where I had already worked on a piece by Rautavaara called Whispering, which I commissioned him to write for me. I premiered it, I recorded it for my 27 Encores project. When Mikko asked me if I would do the violin concerto by Rautavaara with him and with the Philharmonique, I jumped at the opportunity because Mikko Frank, the conductor, and Anijohani Rautavaara, the composer, they're both Finnish, and they met when Mikko did one of Anijohani's operas. And the composer really saw that the conductor got his music, and they became such close friends after that. They really had so much in common, even though they were from very different generations. And Mikko became an expert on Rautavaara's music and also everything about him as a person. When I did the violin concerto with Mikko, it was such a great experience, and I realized immediately that it was what I had hoped it would be, to work with him on something by Rautavaara. And Rautavaara was older at that time. He was in his 80s, I believe, when we were doing that performance. So I asked Mikko if there was any chance that we could ask Rautavaara to write another violin concerto, because his writing for violin was genius, and he wrote the one violin concerto, and I was hoping there might be more somehow. And Mikko said, well, the composer is not feeling good. Like, he's really ill at the moment, and I don't think it's the right time, but I'll be seeing him in a couple of months, and if it is the right time, I will mention it. But I don't know if we'll actually have the conversation. And I never heard anything else, so I assumed it was something that wasn't meant to be. Mikko, meanwhile, had the conversation with Rautavaara, and the composer said that he had been interested in writing not another violin concerto, because he already wrote the format of violin concerto once. He didn't want to repeat himself. But he was interested in writing a set of serenades for solo violin with orchestra, and he would think about that. Mikko then proceeded to start working on the logistics of a commission, but before he heard anything back, the composer passed away. So Mikko, of course, was devastated personally, and he knew that this piece probably had not been written, and that was also a lost opportunity. And at the funeral, the composer's widow took Mikko, the conductor, back to the studio where the composer had left an unfinished score for two serenades. It was titled in French and Finnish, which was not his normal manner of titling his works. He usually did English and Finnish, and it was for a solo violin with orchestra. It was almost complete, and the thing that wasn't complete was sketched out, ready to go. And it was clear that this was the piece. And that's when I heard that it existed. And I was bowled over because I had no idea that anything had come of the conversation that I'd had. And Mikko was extremely moved because this was the final work of his good friend and the great composer that had yet to be performed. So we made that part of the artist residency that I did with Radio France. And at the premiere, it was very emotional because I would say emotional in the sense that you felt the significance of this moment and the honor of being part of it, because it was the last work by a composer. Usually when you're at a premiere, the composer takes a bow, but the composer wasn't there to take a bow at his own premiere. And so Mikko held the score up to the heavens at the end so the composer could be acknowledged and we could say thank you. And the feeling that we were both completing and beginning something was palpable. We were completing his work. There would be nothing else that was unplayed by him after this. So in a sense, it really ended his creative span. But in another sense, this piece had new life now. Now his complete catalog was out in public and could live and breathe and live on.
Well, thank you for sharing this beautiful music and this wonderful, wonderful album. It's called Paris, from the multi-Grammy-winning violinist Hilary Hahn, who has spent a little time with us talking about it today.
I want to say I have such fond memories. I have such fond memories of Toledo. I used to go to Toledo a lot and play with the orchestra, and the hall is so beautiful. And so I send a lot of warmth and greetings to my fans in Toledo, and I hope to get back there at some point.
I saw on your social media that you have a Paris-themed tote bag themed to the album.
I do.
Which seems like a perfect public radio tie-in.
Oh! Tote bags. You know, tote bags, it's funny because I have so many of them. When you go to Europe a lot, you just kind of wind up with tote bags because the stores have tote bags. You know, there are all these interesting little like art print collections on tote bags. Tote bags are like a briefcase for a lot of men, and you know, you use them for shopping, you use them to carry your stuff and, you know, your lunch or whatever. And so when I had the opportunity to do a tote bag, I actually to do anything, I asked Deutsche Grammophon if we could organize maybe a tote bag, because then I'd have one for my collection. But I really wanted to work with this visual artist I met through social media, and I've been watching her artistic process, which I find really inspiring, for a number of years. And she is an embroidery artist, she's a print artist, she's a painter, and she has worked with textiles a lot. She's Argentinian and works in the UK as well. Her name is Sofia Salazar. So it was really cool to be able to close that loop with this album in a kind of aside, and now I have a new tote bag.
Hilary, thank you so much again for talking with us here on FM 91.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.